Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we agree with your plan. We bless you today. We honor you today. We give you glory. You are the King of glory. We thank you for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. We bless your name. We praise your name. We honor you today. You are King. You are Lord. You are Shepherd. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for this is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing. We are glad in it. We are so grateful, Abba, that we call on your mighty name. Father, we are thankful, Father God, that you sent Jesus down to earth to die for us. We should have been the one that's been on the cross, but because, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, of your love for us, you sent Jesus to take our place. And so, Father, today we ask you to forgive us for sins, known, unknown. We ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to continually help us, oh God. Help us, Father, to follow after righteousness, to run hard after you, to thirst for you on a daily basis, oh God. Oh, Father, we thank you that you are blessing our bread, our water. You have taken sickness away from the midst of us, that we walk in divine health and healing on a daily basis. And we thank you, Lord God, that we could call on your mighty name, your holy name. You are Lord. You are God. You are King. You are Abba Father. There is no God great like you in the mighty name of Jesus. There is no God holy like you, no God righteous like you. You are Jehovah Tsidkenu, a righteous God. You are Abba Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy holy name. We adore you. We bless you. We give you glory, praise, and thanksgiving for who you are and for what you've done for us. We thank you. We appreciate you. As the song says, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that we could ever do. And so we have fallen in love with you, Lord God. Oh, yeah, we are running hard after you daily. Daily, we are hungering for you. Daily, we are thirsting for you, Lord God. Oh, yeah, we need you more than the skin on our bones. We need you today like never before. Oh, Father God, you don't even have to look at the news, but you know the bad news that's being spread. But, Lord, as your children, we refuse to let the bad news get in our spirit from the Channel 4, Channel 48, whatever channel it is. Oh, yeah, some people got 300 channels, but, Lord, we're going to flip it off, and we're going to put on the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ from Matthew all the way to Revelation. The good news of the gospel is what we're going to hear. We're going to bombard ourselves with the good news of the Jesus Christ. Good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to hear Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the way to Revelation every day. We're going to bombard. We're going to put it in our ear. We're going to listen to it over and over and over. The good news. You said, whose report will we believe? Father, we don't believe those channel news. We believe your report. I don't care what channel it is. It could be channels in Africa, Asia, Antarctica, Australia, North America, South America. But we believe the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You said we're to think on these things. And if we're bombarded with the bad news, we're going to begin to think bad things. If we get bad reports from the doctor, we're going to begin to believe those reports. But you said whose report will we believe? We believe your report. Your report is the true report. And we agree with your plan today. And we are thanking you, Lord God, that you are already on the air before we got on there. You live everywhere. There's no place. You're omnipresent. And we are so grateful that we could call on your mighty name, your holy name. Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Wednesday Midweek Bible Study. We are grateful today for each of you coming on with us. And we thanking the Lord for what he's doing. You know what? We need God like never before. And we're asking him. Yeah. have stepped in the wrong direction. God knows the direction we're supposed to go in, and he's making sure when we keep our eyes fixed on him that we're going in the right direction. So I'm glad each of you joined us today on Wednesday midweek Bible study. I'm going to unmute all the lines, so in case you have any noise in your house, you can just mute your lines back. I appreciate it. You know we got to be considerate of each other. You know Father God is very considerate of us. He knows we're human and we have limitations, but through him, we can do all things through Christ. Yes, we love him with all of our heart, soul, and strength. We love each other like we love ourselves. So I thank God for teaching us how to love him, how to love one another. He said, this is the way you should go. Go this way. Don't go that way. Oh, yeah, he gives his children warnings. We just got to be in a quiet place. We can't always have the racket going in our ear. We can't always have the TV on, the telephone on, the iPad on, the Facebook, Twitter. We can't always have that on. Sometimes we just got to shut everything off and listen. Get in the secret place and listen because he's speaking. He is speaking. But sometimes, you know, we got all these distractions. And he's told us something. And then you say, well, Lord, I want you to do this. He said, wait a minute. You ain't do the last thing I told you to do. How you want me to do something else? So we got to listen. Listen. And yeah. I ain't talking about just with hearing of the ear. I'm talking about that spiritual. We have to be attuned to hear his voice. And the way we get attuned is to spend time in his presence. He's going to attune our ears that we might hear. I mean, really hear his voice because he's speaking. And know that he is God. That's how we're going to hear his voice. Be still. And know that he's God. That devil is writing. That devil is saying, oh, yeah, come on over here. It's good. Oh, no. God is speaking. We got to be still so we can hear his voice. This talk. We'll miss it if we got too much on. Well, you know, the Bible says praise is comely for the upright. Psalms 150. It's praise to the Lord. It says, hallelujah. Praise God in the holy place. Praise him in the mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him for his immense greatness. Praise him with the sounds from horns. Praise him with the harps and the lyre. Praise him with the tambourines and the dancing. The string instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with the crashing cymbals. Let everything, now listen, this is most important. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we are thanking God for each of you this afternoon. We are so grateful that the Lord connected us. All right, we're going to ask Minister Glory Dean Charlotte if she will sing a song of praise. She's from Herrera, Louisiana. We thank God for her. She comes on with us weekly. Faithful, mighty minister of the Most High God. God knows her name, her fingerprints, everything about her. Like I told y'all before, I think she was born. They put her on the keyboard not long afterwards. So she's going to sing that song of praise. Good afternoon, Mr. Virginia. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon. I'm doing fine. I just thank God for today, for his healings and everything. I love him. I love him. And like you talk about the love and loving one another. Praise God. I thank God for you and everyone on the radio line today. Praise God. Give him all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, this is a song everybody's used to hearing, but this is what came to me to sing today. Okay.
Bye.
pretty elders, with pretty elders, bow down before him. They'll bow before him and worship him, and worship him. And for his pleasure,
Glory Dean, thank you so much. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, next we have Minister Ian George from Marrero, Louisiana. He's going to sing a song of praise to the Lord. We thank God for her. Good afternoon, Sister Vivian. How are you?
I didn't quite hear you. What'd you say?
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Sister G?
I'm doing great, so we're listening for the song that you're going to sing to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Praise God. This song came to me early this morning. Praise God. And it kind of goes like this. Let's see. Hold on here. Praise God. It goes like this. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining. Every day, and when, let me start back over. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get it right, my voice right. Okay. Oh, praise God. All right, here we go. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining, oh, every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, feet on higher ground, higher ground. Lord, lift me up, and I shall stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, higher ground. Lord, lift me up, hallelujah, and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, higher ground. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Joy. Thank you so much. Boy, that brought back memories from when I was growing up. Yep.
Yes, yes, yes. It did. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much, God. Able to, yeah, plant our feet on higher ground. Thank you so much. Oh. I appreciate it. All right. We have Sister Annette on with us from Jacksonville, Florida. And I'm going to ask her if she would pray for families all over the world. Thank God for her. If she would pray for families.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we rejoice and we are glad today, Lord God, because this is the day that you have made. And so we thank you, Lord God, for sparing our lives. We thank you, Lord God, for your many, many blessings, blessings seen and unseen, told and untold, God. We thank you today, God, and we honor your holy name, Lord God. We reverence you, Lord God. Father, we thank you. There's none like you. None can compare to you. And holy God, we bless your holy name together. We thank you that we've gathered in your name, Lord God, because your name is above every other name, the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we bow the knees of our hearts to the name of Jesus. And so, Lord God, we thank you for families, Lord God. Father, that's the first institution was family. And so, God, we ask you to bless families throughout the world, God. We pray for your mercy and grace to abound toward them in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord God, that you draw them nigh unto you. Father, the ones that are not saved, we pray for their salvation. The ones who are saved, we pray for a closer walk with you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We ask you to meet every need. You say you will supply all of our needs, Father. Be it spiritual, financially, emotionally, God, whatever we need, Lord God, you said, Jehovah Jireh, you will provide it. And so, Holy One of Israel, we thank you today. We ask you to keep us safe from hurt, harm, and danger. Father, we pray that no plague or pestilence would come nigh us nor our dwelling in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we pray above all that our prayer would be that thy will be done, not our will, but thy will be done, that you be glorified in our lives and in the earth, Lord God. Be thou glorified, O King of glory. You be glorified. And, Lord God, we thank you, Father. Give your angels charge over us. Keep us safe from hurt, harm, and danger. And, Lord God, we just thank you for your people everywhere. Bless your families, oh, God, throughout the world. Father, what the world needs now is love. And, Father, you are love. So we thank you today. In Jesus' name we pray and give you thanks. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I thank God for the songs and prayer. Thank God for each of you all joining us today. What a mighty God we serve. You know he's an awesome God, a mighty God. And it is time for the Word of God. Our speaker today is a mighty, mighty man of God. He is full of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of God's word. He knows God's word. He's married to a beautiful woman and has beautiful children. I thank God for his faith. I think I met him when he was probably in his 20s or 30s, but he was on fire for the Lord then. And I tell you what, that fire is getting hot for the Lord. Oh, my God. He's running hard after God every day. So the Word of God says in Psalm 78:1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Today, let us listen, pay attention to the Word of God. from God's servant, Bishop Keith Boyd from Slidell area, Louisiana. We thank God for him. Good afternoon, Bishop. How are you?
I am well, woman of God. The Lord is good to me. Hallelujah to God. We thank God for being here.
Amen. We are grateful you came. We'll let God have his way. Go right ahead with the word. We're ready.
Yes, ma'am. I am going to, first of all, thank God for the woman of God that just prayed. And I thank God that she prayed. I feel like the runway has been cleared. We've been cleared for landing. You know, sometimes the plane got to circle a few times. They say, we don't have clearance from the tower yet. But as the woman of God was praying, and as the songs of Zion went forward, I kind of sense that the Lord is telling us that the runway is clear. You can come in for landing now. Hallelujah to God. And so I thank God now, as I was meditating and giving myself to prayer, and let me say I've been a little divided because we got a phone call on yesterday. One of our bishops here in the Slidell area, Bishop Eugene Wellington, and those of you that make a mental note, I want you to keep that name in your heart and your spirit, El Bethel Apostolic Worship Center. We thank God for them. The man of God has been touched with the coronavirus. He and his wife, and they went to the hospital about a month ago, and they gave him the microantibody, and his wife made an immediate turnaround. But the man of God took a turn for the worse. They called the family in yesterday and said they're not expecting him to make it. Glory to God. Now, we know that God gets the final say. Hallelujah to God. And so the pastor called me when he first went to the hospital and asked me to keep a watch over the church and over his family and his wife and so forth. And I've been diligent to do so. I went there to try and comfort his children, and I reminded them that we're not the kind of people that don't have no hope. God is working with us. God is doing for us. And sometimes people want miracles, but they don't want impossibilities. Glory to God. And so in order for you to get a miracle, you got to first be faced with an impossibility. And so I thank the Lord that even though it doesn't look good, but I told him this is not the hour of gloom and doom. This is the hour of God's revealing his greatest glory. And so we thank God that God is still going to be glorified. But in your personal time of prayer, remember Bishop Eugene Wellington and the El Bethel family. And we pray that God's will would be done, that he would have his way. And we believe that like Abraham was assured when God told him to offer up Isaac. He said, one thing I know for sure, God promised that this boy was going to be great. And so one of two things going to happen today. Either God's not going to allow me to kill him, or if I do kill him, God's going to raise him back up. Glory to God. The Bible said in 1 Peter, Abraham counted him faithful who had promised. And that's where our faith got to be. It's got to be not in the circumstances, but in the God that made the promise to us. Having said that, I want to focus and concentrate. I believe you guys have been studying about the 10 plagues that God used to bring a nation and a king to their knees. Hallelujah to God. Not for the sake of bringing that king or that nation to their knees, but for the sake of manifesting the true power of God, diminishing all false gods and bringing everybody to worship and praise of the one true God. And so I'm going to be, I hadn't been on some of the previous sessions. Don't know how far you guys have gone, and I know Minister G, she likes to dig in and get into the recesses of the deep things of God, and so I'm sure that you guys have been doing some delving and some digging, but I just want to add my little 3 cents, and I'm going to move out the way. Glory to God. And so what I want to do, I want to go to Psalms chapter 105. Glory to God. And I'm going to speed read, because I want to focus on that entire chapter, actually, but I'm not going to do it in the sense of reading every verse. I want to put a certain portion of the scripture in your hearing, and then we'll see if we can dissect and see what God is trying to tell us through his word. Now, Minister G, let me say from the onset, I need to apologize up front. I will not be able to tie all ends together, so perhaps we'll have to come back at a later time and see if we can put all this together. As I begin to study, and I said, Lord, what portion do you want me to deliver? And it is absolutely too exhaustive to try to deal with this entire subject in one setting. And so I'm going to touch a few things, and hopefully it'll add to what you guys have already discerned. And there's one focus that God has given me, and I'm going to stay in my lane and do that part, and then I'm going to move out the way. Hallelujah to God. In the book of Psalm chapter 105, the Bible opens up kind of in keeping what the woman of God said a minute ago when she went to the scripture. She started talking about the fact, Psalm 150, Let everything that have breath. The Bible opens up in Psalm 105, verse 1. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Glory to God. Give him thanks. Call his name. And tell folks what God has done for you. And that's all that the plagues in Egypt was all about. It was about manifesting and creating a testimony that the people of God could give to future generations so that they would know that our God was the only true and living God. Hallelujah. It goes on, sing unto him, sing psalms. Hallelujah. It tells us in verse 4, seek the Lord. It tells us in verse 5, remember his marvelous works. It identifies who he's trying to appeal to, O seed of Abraham. Verse number 6, it says, he is the Lord and God. His judgments are in all the earth. And he says, now I want you to understand, God made a covenant to Abraham. I'm at verse number 8 now. He said, and God remembers his covenant. God doesn't forget what he said, even when circumstances decry that perhaps it's not going to come to pass. And so I want to speak to somebody on this line right now and tell you, even though time, the chronos might seem like it's moving, but the kairos, which is the time in which God moves, the kairos is when God can impinge a time. It might not be January, February, or March, but God can chalk a time. We got seasons in the Bible. We got summer, winter, spring, fall. We got autumn. We got all these things. But then there's one season that's called due season. And the Bible says, in due season you shall reap if you faint not. I'm starting to feel good now. Glory to God. And so I want to speak to somebody that say, look, it just don't look like it's happening for me. Summer done came, and it didn't happen. Winter is now encroaching upon us. And I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. But I'm telling you, don't put your faith in the season. Put your time in God's season. And I'm telling you, in due season you shall reap if faint not. Hallelujah. I'm off subject, but the Lord is helping. Hallelujah to God. And so now God says, I'm going to remember my covenant, verse number 9 of Psalm 105. I made the covenant with Abraham, gave an oath to Isaac, came back in verse 10 and confirmed it with Jacob. Glory to God. And God says, I'm not going to forget what I promised. I'm going to do exactly what I said I was going to do. I'm going to give you the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. I'm going to take you to a place that you got to get to. Glory to God. He said, I'm going to do it. I'm talking to you now, not after y'all become this mighty nation. I'm talking to you while you are few in number. I'm talking to you while you're very few. Yea, and strangers in it. You in the land that you're going to possess, but don't nobody know you right now. And somebody on this line, the plagues are not designed to destroy you. They're designed to put you in prominence and put you in the place that you're supposed to be in, so your enemies will be scattered and honor and appeal to the God that's about to give you Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. And so verse 12 says, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, they were going from place to place. And they didn't seem to have a place that they could be stable and have stability and the things that they needed. And so the Bible says, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake. Hallelujah to God. And you say, well, when did God reprove kings for their sake? You remember now you got to go with me, because the Lord is saying that in Genesis chapter 12, I'm just going to, Let me finish this and I'll come back to it. He reproved kings for their sakes. And verse number 15 is what I'm trying to get to. He said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Then he goes on, he called for famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. They hurt Joseph's feet with fetters and they laid him in irons. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Somebody needs to mark that verse in your Bible. That's a whole message. I ain't got time to touch it right now. Glory to God. God puts a word over your life, and until that word comes to pass, that word is going to try you. Glory to God. It's going to cause stuff to happen that don't look like the fulfillment of your word, to see if you can still hold on to the word that God gave you. What you talking about, Bishop? Let me give you an example. Mark, the Bible says that Jesus told his disciples, get on the boat. We're going over to let us go to the other side. Glory to God. He gave them a word. The word was, we're going over. Glory to God. Jesus goes back and says, I'll meet y'all on the other side. And the next verse says, and a great storm came down upon the sea. Glory to God. Such that the boat was now about to be torn in pieces. And water started. They got scared. They said, oh, we're about to perish. And Jesus says, what you need to do is remember the word, because after I give you a word, There's an obligation in the spiritual realm that the word of the Lord has got to try you. And when the trial comes, the thing that's going to keep you where you're supposed to be is if you remember the word that God gave you. The word was, we're going over. So it don't matter what happens between here and there, that we can't die because God said, we're going over. Glory to God. And I wish somebody that's in a storm right now would reach back in the recesses of your sanctified mind and remember that God told you you were going over. Glory to God. Minister G, when finances don't seem like they're where they're supposed to be, remember that God told you that you had a ministry that had to be fulfilled. Somebody on this call, when things don't line up and don't seem like it's, the propensity is there for you to fulfill what God said, don't look at the circumstances. Stop telling God about your mountains and introduce your mountains to your God. I'm starting to feel good. Now, what you ought to do is tell the devil you're a liar and everything connected to you is defeated because God said, I'm going over. Let me get back to Psalm 105. Touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. That coincides with 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 22, the same thing. Touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. Let's put a pin there and let's qualify something because oftentimes we give more credence to this verse than is necessary. Now, the verse is very true. It's very powerful. It's very impending. It's very relevant. It's needed for right now. But the verse is not just about the what we call the fivefold ministry or the ministry gifts. The verse is about everybody under the sound of my voice. God is not dyslexic. God is not bipolar. God don't have Alzheimer's. God ain't got dementia. God knows he got his full faculties and he knows what he's doing. God says, touch not mine anointed. Hallelujah to God. And do my prophets no harm. 1 Chronicles 16, he says, neither do my prophets any harm. Glory to God. And God didn't, he put the main thing. The anointed is not the preacher, the pastor, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, the apostle, the prophet. The anointed is everyone that subscribes to the kingdom of God, to do the will of God, and has the Spirit of God in them. What I just said was, you're not anointed because you got a title. You're anointed because you got God in you. Somebody should have said amen right there. Glory to God. I'm telling you, God didn't, he didn't mention the preacher twice. He didn't say, don't touch my anointed and don't do my prophets. That ain't the preacher twice. The first anointed is the main anointed. The only reason God gave us apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers was to perfect the saints because God's focus is not on the minute or on the gifts. God's focus is on the kingdom, every soul that's a part of that kingdom. And so God says, what I want you to do, if you want to get me mad, the first thing you can do is touch my anointed, touch my people, touch the ones that I made the oath to, touch the ones that I'm giving Canaan to. Touch the ones that I'll bring plagues on you if you touch them. Glory to God. Then he says, and neither do my prophets any harm. The prophets, God's original plan was never, I want somebody to hear me with the spirit now. God's plan was never to have somebody between you and him. The fact that we need apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers reminds us of the fall. I don't know how I got on this, but somebody needs it. Glory to God. And so what happens is it reminds us of the fall because God's original plan was for Adam to have direct access. And every day in the cool of the day, Adam walked with God. And God supped in commune with Adam. And God could feed Adam in the place called Eden where the presence of God is. And sin drew a wedge between God and man. Lord have mercy. And God said, I want my son back. I want my fellowship back. I want to get back to the place that I can commune with Adam and Adam with me. Glory to God. And God had to bring prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to bring us back to him. It's a reminder that we fail. And so you don't impress God when you need a prophet, a pastor, an evangelist, a teacher. You remind God that you strayed because God's ideal purpose for you is that you would come boldly before the throne and have immediate access yourself. And so God has to allow a broadcast such as this on a Wednesday afternoon. Glory to God. Why? So he can remind you that he wants you back to him. Glory to God. God would allow a big mouth preacher like me to come on a sanctified broadcast like this just to remind you that God don't need me. He wants you to get back to him. Glory to God. And so the plagues were designed to draw God's people back to him. He called for famine upon the land, sent the man. Till the time that the word came. And the Bible says, we get to verse number 23, it says, Israel came into Egypt.
Jacob sojourned into the land of Ham. He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Uh-oh. They used to be a very small people, but now God's increasing them, and he's doing it while they're under oppression. I want somebody to grab that. You're going through right now, but God is strengthening you. God is teaching you something that you're going to need to possess your land. Glory to God. This ain't designed to kill you. It's designed to develop you. Glory to God. He turned their hearts to hate his people and deal subtly with his servants. God said, don't you touch my anointed, because I might have to get involved and do something. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 17, the Bible says, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plague because of Sarah, Abram's wife. Sarai, Abram's wife. Glory to God. Abraham goes into Egypt. Abimelech, the king, the men see Sarah. She's a beautiful woman. They take Sarah, bring her to the king's palace. Pharaoh takes her and is about to make her his wife. He's about to humble her. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Glory to God. The Lord speaks and says, you touch her, I'll kill you. Glory to God. Pharaoh goes back to Abraham and says, man, why you didn't tell us that was your wife? You told me that was your sister. It was a half-truth, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Glory to God. And so the point I want to make, Abraham was the prophet, but Sarah was the anointed. Glory to God. Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Glory to God. The anointed is the least of these. Glory to God. The anointed is not the one that's got a big title and somebody that's got a platform and a megaphone. Glory to God. The anointed is the one that God promised, I'm going to give you Canaan. Hallelujah to God. And so whenever somebody touches God's anointed, God gets busy in the process of restoring us back to himself. All right, I got to go now. Hallelujah to God. The sin has separated man. God's got to get man back to himself. God sends them to a trek called Egypt. Glory to God. They wind up in this place where the Pharaoh does not regard the people of God. Hallelujah to God. And so what God's got to do, he's got to teach Pharaoh that. So God is, he's multitasking now. He's actually, he's doing more than he's got a great thing going on here. Because what God is going to do, he's going to restore Israel to their place. Hallelujah to God. And while he's restoring Israel to their place, he gonna set Pharaoh in order and let him know who the real God is. He's going to bring a reverence to the people of Egypt and let them know that y'all part of a false regime. Y'all got to learn to give your obeisance to the Father and the creator of all the earth. Hallelujah to God. God is doing all these things simultaneously. And so, you know, now I want to say something to everybody here. God says, look, he sent plagues upon Pharaoh because Pharaoh is about to touch God's anointed. Well, what do you think going to happen if Pharaoh begins to oppress all of God's anointed? God sent plagues on Egypt, on the house of Pharaoh, because he touched one of God's anointed. But Pharaoh moved now because the God begins to increase his people. God's got a process that he's working. God's got a plan that he's working. I know somebody said, this man ain't got to the plague yet. I'm coming. Glory to God. And so what happens is, God is slowly about to intertwine and increase the his people, his prized possessions. In fact, there's a verse where God calls it his firstborn son. He said, Israel is my firstborn. Glory to God. Very important. Somebody make a mental note of that, because that's what the plagues were all about. Pharaoh took it upon himself to touch God's firstborn. Hallelujah to God. Now, I ain't just talking about that son. I'm talking about the Israel was God's firstborn. Hallelujah to God. And God made it real plain. And so what happens, Israel begins to grow, and there was a Pharaoh that showed them favor. Now, he was only used of God to give them that certain amount of favor, because if he really favored them, when he got ready to go off the scene, he would have prepared the heart of the next Pharaoh and told them, I want you to show them favor. But the Bible says the Pharaoh died, and another Pharaoh rose who knew not Joseph. He didn't regard Joseph. So the previous Pharaoh didn't instruct him, look, when you take the throne, make sure you still be kind to the people for Joseph's sake. This man comes to the throne. Obviously, the Pharaoh had not, even though he had an appreciation, he hadn't kept it in their memory. He hadn't kept it before them. And I'm telling you, sometimes God will make people forget you to put you in position. Joseph interprets a dream. Y'all remember? And he told the man said, how can I pay you? He said, just when you get back to your place, remember me. And for 2 years, the Bible says, and the butler remembered not Joseph. It wasn't God's curse. It was God's blessing. I'm about to show you that all you need to rely on is me. No matter what resource I use to get you where you're going, don't you ever forget that I'm your source. Glory to God. And that's what the plagues were about, to discern the Pharaoh, the difference between a resource and the source. Hallelujah to God. And so what happens is, let me go back to Genesis. God had a relationship with man. Sin came and accosted man, separated man from God. God is trying to get man back to his proper place, which is right there with God, direct access, not going between the preacher, not going between the pastor, the evangelist, the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, none of those things. I want you to have direct access. And so what God's got to do, he's got to enact the plan. And so a lot of times people misunderstand the scripture. If you miss this about the Bible, you'd have missed the whole effort. Original sin did not take place in Genesis chapter 3. Original sin was not the eating of a fruit. Original sin took place before Genesis 1 and 1. Glory to God. The Bible said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. But the book of Psalms said God made everything perfect. Glory to God. God doesn't make an empty earth. There was something that took place, and we find that in Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28. How art thou fallen, O Lucifer? Hallelujah to God. There was something that took place in the heavens that somebody tried to have a coup in heaven. Glory to God. They tried to overthrow the government of God. Y'all ain't saying nothing. The Bible said, Lucifer, pride was found in thee. Hallelujah to God. That's the verse I want to build on. The Bible says in Proverbs 16 and 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Hallelujah to God. So they're back in Egypt. Things are going. The Pharaoh puts hard pressure on them. And so God says, I tell you what I'm going to have to do. If he want to deal with my son, I'm going to have to prepare me a son. I'm going to have to prepare somebody that can go and redeem him. Glory to God. Now, here's what I want you to know. When God decides that he wants to use one of his children to bring the rest of his children out of bondage, sometimes God chooses somebody that is not a ready servant. Let that marinate for a few minutes. God didn't choose you because of your ability. God don't need your ability. Y'all ain't ready. Glory to God. What God said, I don't want to know if you're able. I want to know if you're available. I don't need your ability. I need your availability. What you talking about, Bishop? God calls Moses, gets Moses prepared, grooms Moses in the house of Pharaoh, causes a problem for Moses that Moses got to leave because God wants him to come back and become the deliverer of that which he had to leave. Glory to God. And sometimes we get our hearts broken when God got to separate us from stuff, when what God is trying to do is prepare you to come back and deliver that thing. I'm talking about your family, your loved ones, your friends, that old job, them old associates, that old boyfriend, that old relationship. Sometimes God got to sever you so he can send you back to that thing and you can be a voice that can bring deliverance. God says, Moses, I want to use. I'm in the book of Exodus now. I'm turning for the sake of time because we're about to get in high gear. Glory to God. Exodus chapter number 3 to be exact. I'm about to speed read, so you're going to have to keep up with me. Verse number 11, God says, verse 10, God tells Moses, I want to use you, son. I got to send somebody down there to tell Pharaoh, you didn't touch my only son. Glory to God. You touched my firstborn. Glory to God. You didn't touch Israel, and I'm about to deal with you. Now, y'all know, when Pharaoh got ready to deal with God, when he thought he was going to put pressure on the people of God, on Israel, which would be the firstborn of God, what he did, he ordered that all the firstborn of the Israelites would be killed. Somebody better make a note there. Glory to God. Touch not mine anointed. Don't you do my prophets no harm, but you better not make the mistake of touching what God has blessed. Don't you do that, Pharaoh. You're about to make a grave mistake. Glory to God. And so I want to magnify five excuses that Moses tried to give to God. God said, Moses, I want to use you. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, what did Moses say? He said, God, I ain't got no ability. I can't do that. Hallelujah to God. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should go forth, bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? I can't be the one to deliver your firstborn. God didn't tell him I was going to give you more ability. What God told him in verse 12, God said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you my presence. Lord have mercy. Somebody been praying for more ability. What you need is more God. Y'all ain't ready. Glory to God. You praying, God, help me do it better. God said, no, how about if I put better in you and let better do it through you? Y'all ain't ready. You don't need more ability. You need God's presence. God said, I'm going to give you my presence in verse number 12. Verse 13, Moses comes back and says, yeah, God, but I ain't got no authority. I go down there and tell them, behold, God, who am I going to tell them sent me? Glory to God. And God goes in verse 14 and says, well, boy, when you get down there, just tell them that I am. Y'all ain't ready. Tell them I am. That's what happened when they said, when Jesus in the gospel, Jesus says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. They said, this man lost his mind. He's talking about Abraham. This man ain't 50 years old. He's talking about he saw Abraham. You ain't 50. How you saw Abraham? He said, before Abraham was. Y'all ain't ready. He reached way back to Exodus 3 and 14 and pulled up the divine name of God. He said, I am, not I will be, not I used to be, not I could be, but I want somebody on this phone to know that I am that I am has sent you. Glory to God. Moses moves on in chapter number 4 and verse number 1. I'm turning the page. Glory to God. Moses answered and said, God, I hear what you're saying. But if I get that, they ain't going to believe me. He said, I ain't got no believability. And God said, I tell you what can convince folks that don't believe. You know, there's some of us on this phone. God wants to, I told you he removed you, then he send you back to become the deliverer. The problem is, when you get back, they do like they did Jesus when he went to Nazareth. They thought, there ain't nobody but the carpenter's son. And the Bible said when he got to his hometown, he could there do not many wonderful works because of their unbelief. Why? Because a prophet is not without honor, but in his own house. In his father's house, in his country, among his kindred. Three places that God told Abraham to leave in Genesis 12. Leave your country, get out of your father's house, and leave your kindred. Don't stay there, son. Why? Because a prophet don't get no honor in those places. I got to remove you and send you back that they won't see you. They'll see the I am that's in you. Glory to God. And so Moses says in chapter number 4, verse number 1, God, they ain't going to believe me. Nobody ain't going to believe me. And God says in verses 2 through 9, the next 7 verses, God said, I tell you what I'm going to do. What's that in your hand? Throw it down. It turned into a serpent. Pick the serpent up by its tail. You don't take no serpent up by the tail. That's dangerous unless you got I am working on your behalf. Boy, I'm good. I'm starting to feel good here. But y'all, I ain't got time to go through the whole thing. God, in verses 2 through 9 in chapter number 4 of Exodus, God displays his power to Moses. He said, they might not believe you, but they're going to believe this. And so I want you to know, whenever you feel insignificant, it's not about what you can do. It ain't about your ability. It ain't about your authority. It ain't about your believability. It's about the presence, the name, and the power of God working on your behalf. I wish somebody would grab that. I want you to say, God, I ain't got the ability, but go with me. Give me your presence. Lord, I ain't got no authority, but lend me your name. Glory to God. Lord, they ain't going to believe me, but show me your power. Glory to God. And after God consummated everything by showing them the power, the next verse, verse number 10, Moses said, but God, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak too good. Verses 11 and 12, God said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to aid with you. Glory to you. Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Neither hitherto, even since you start speaking to me, I still got a problem. I can't talk too good. And Moses said, God, I stutter. I can't get the words out. And the Lord said unto him in verse 11, I made man's mouth. I'm the one. I gave you that impediment. I correct it whenever I get ready. It don't matter what deficiency or defect you got in your life. If you got God's presence and you got God's name and you got God's power, then you got God's enablement. Glory to God. God is going to enable you to do what he calls you to do, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And then the final thing, I want to land on this one for a second. Verse number 13 of chapter number 4, it says, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Now, that's archaic. That's King James. But in the New Living Translation, it says, and Moses said unto the Lord, please, Lord, I hear you. I hear what you're saying, but please send somebody else. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else, but don't send me. Hallelujah to God. The NIV, the revised version, all these versions say actually what Moses said, even after God had shown Moses his power, shown God Moses his presence, gave Moses his name, showed Moses his enablement, Moses said, but God, the truth is I just don't want to go. And sometimes it ain't about our ability, our authority, our believability, our eloquence. Sometimes we got to get honest and say, God, I just don't have the burden that you have. That's what Moses was telling God. You care about the people, but I don't want to risk my life to that extent. Now, before I left Egypt, I risked my life by killing an Egyptian that was ill-treating an Israelite. Glory to God. But God, I'm so past all that, I don't want to go back down there and face those people. And God said, I'm about to put the burden back in. Glory to God. And so in verses 14 through 16, God said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take Aaron, your brother. He going to be unto you a mouth, and you're going to be unto him God. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I'm about to get in the situation, and I'm about to show you what's going to happen. That brings us to our lesson for the day. In chapter 7 through 12, there's a battle going on. Actually, there's a dual battle. There's two things taking place. There's a battle between Moses and Pharaoh. That's on the human level. But then there's a battle between Yahweh or Elohim or Jehovah, glory to God, and the Egyptian deities, which is the supernatural battle, glory to God. There's a human battle taking place, and there's a supernatural battle taking place. And that's what I want to focus on today, and I'm going to take the last 2 minutes to see if I can tie this up for us. Glory to God. Moses and Aaron are working together. They're trying to show God's true nature and prove that he's the Lord of all things. Up to this point, all theologians agree that if Pharaoh had not hardened his heart, if Pharaoh would have hearkened to the Lord, he could have spared the Egyptians and himself a whole lot of sorrow. Instead, he decided to be stubborn. He decided to harden his heart, and as punishment, God sent what we're talking about today, those 10 plagues upon Egypt. Glory to God. Now, every plague was used in a way to show God's superiority over nature, over Pharaoh, over everything they put their confidence in. And so God had to expose the gods of Egypt and show that in reality they were weak when it came to protecting the people that had confidence in. Isn't it something? People trust in stuff that can't deliver. Lord have mercy. And atheists, they learn to believe in God when they're on their deathbed. Glory to God. Folks that say, I ain't got no use for God. When COVID show up at their house, they won't pray. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And I'm telling you what God is doing. God says, I'm going to get you to the point and the place that I want to get you to, even if I got to use plagues to get you there. Now, Minister G, I already apologize. I know somebody going to get mad with me through here, because I'm going to drop the plagues, give you their significance, and then I'm going to keep moving to what it is that I'm shooting for. Glory to God. There were some things. The reason that God had to use these plagues, the reason God had to send the plagues that he sent, glory to God, it wasn't just a coincidence. It wasn't, and those of you that's making mental notes or writing down, I want you to go back and read Exodus chapter 7 through 12, and it's going to show you the battle between Moses and Pharaoh. It's going to show you the battle between the Elohim and the Egyptian gods, glory to God. It's going to show you that God is lining up things and making them understand that he, in fact, is God. Hallelujah to God. Let me clear my throat. All right. So even you alive. Let's get back to business. And so what happens is the battle is going. Now listen, there's some plagues. I don't have time to touch this, so I don't even know if I need to open this can of worms, because somebody going to want me to dig in a little deep and I ain't going to be able to. When you get to the New Testament and it rehearses the plague, The New Testament writer, he records the darkness before he does the frogs. Glory to God. Now in the chronological order that they went in the book of Exodus, the first thing he did, the Nile was turned into blood. Y'all know. And then he moved to the frogs, and then he went to the lice, and then he went to the flies. Let me see if I remember Bible school. Then he put disease on all the cattle, and then he brought balls. Hallelujah to God! That infected it on man and beast, great sores and balls. And then he dropped hail that was big enough to kill men. Come on, search for truth. Glory to God. Then he put locusts on them, and then gross darkness. And then God said, finally, I'm about to do to Pharaoh what he did to me. I'm about to touch his firstborn. Lord have mercy. Now, when we get there, the reason that he had to touch the Nile, because the Egyptians had a god called Nilus or Orisus, which was the god of the Nile. He had to send the frogs because they had another god called Heket, H-E-K-E-T. That's the reproductive god. The frogs were a symbol that, because the frogs came out when the river was about to had decreased it, and the frogs came and they were a sign of reproduction. When the frogs came, they ate all. There were two things that the frogs did. They brought they symbolized reproduction, and they also ate up the insects to give the people relief. And so they had put such confidence in frogs and Heket that God said, I tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna show you that Heket is not God. Then God moves to life. Glory to God. That's the God called Geb, G-E-B, the God of the earth. Glory to God. The Egyptians had an affinity with a God called Geb. And the lice, they revered them and said they were the God of the earth. And God dealt with the lice to show them that Geb was not God. And then he moved to their next God, which is called Kepri, K-H-E-P-R-I, the God of the sacred scarab. Hallelujah. It is the God of creation. It's symbolized in their obeisance to flies. And so God says, after I turn the Nile into blood, after I send frogs, after I deal with the lice, I'm about to touch Capri. I'm about to touch the flies and show you that there ain't no sanctity in no fly. The fly is an irritant. It's not a God. And so God deals with that and shows them that he's the God of creation. Then God comes and says, I see another God in the borders of Egypt. And so what I got to do, I got to put disease on the cattle because there's a God called Apis, A-P-I-S, or Hathor. It's a sacred bull or cow, glory to God. It's that they gave obeisance to this bull or to this cow. And so God said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to touch the cows and I'm going to touch the bulls. And I'm going to touch the cattle and I'm going to show you that your God ain't going to be able to do nothing about it because I am the God of heaven and there ain't no power in your God, Apis or Hathor, glory to God. And God chastised them and taught Israel or taught Egypt that there was no power in their gods, but the true God of heaven was the only God. I got to hurry to a close. Glory to God. And then God sends boils. Hallelujah. Because there's a God called Imhotep in the recesses of Egypt. It's the God of medicine. Then there's a God called Thoth. Hallelujah to God. T-H-O-T-H. That's the God of intelligence. And so God sent the boils and their medicine and their intelligence could do nothing about it. And they were being plagued and they were being destroyed. And until Pharaoh called Moses, hey, man, you got to entreat for us. We came out my medicine and our intelligence ain't working. We got to do something so we can get beyond this plague. God dealt with the God of the boils. Then he moved to the hail. Glory to God. There was a God called Shu, the God of the atmosphere. And they didn't revere Jehovah as the God of the atmosphere. They thought Shu was the God. And when hail came down, they would bow in obeisance. And they said that Shu was speaking to them. And so what God did, he sent down some hail. He sent Shu down and became a tool against them, became a weapon. That's the word I was looking for. Became a weapon against the children of Egypt because they had put their confidence in hail because hail had up to that point just been a little thing that they could be noteworthy of, and they saw it come down. But now the hail is going to destroy men. And Pharaoh got to call Moses back in and say, Shu must not be God. Then he sent locusts because there was a God called Serapis. Hallelujah. He was the protector. And another God called Nut. And they looked at it. And every time they saw locusts, they saw God protecting their borders. And you know, locusts destroy stuff. But they said, we sacrifice crops, but in debt comes life. And so they thought the locusts were designed to bring them some kind of protection to increase them. And God caused the locusts to eat up all their stuff. And they realized that Serapis was not their God. Hallelujah to God. Then God sends gross darkness on the land. That's the God called Ra, the sun god. And they put every time the sun would rise, they said God was favoring them. Hallelujah. And God put the sun to be a blessing to us, but God didn't put the sun there so we can circumvent his authority and give obeisance to the sun. Glory to God. And so we got to understand that the sun is not God. The sun was created by God. Hallelujah to God. And so darkness dealt with their God, but God said, there's one more thing I got to do. And so now let's make some mental notes here. Now the river being turned to blood affected the Egyptians and the Israelites. The frogs coming into their coast affected the Egyptians and the Israelites. The lice coming on the earth affected the Egyptians and the Israelites. But three is the number of the display of the power of God. And so at that point, God makes a break and says, look, everything in Goshen, where the Israelites are, will no longer be touched by these plagues because I wanted to show Pharaoh how he's getting a little delusional. He's getting a little confused. He's seeing that, well, this is affecting the Israelites just like it's affecting us, so they ain't no different. So God said, I tell you what, when the flies come, not one will be in Goshen, but they'll be even in the palace in Egypt. And so God, now, Minister G, you got to forgive me. I got to digress one little second here, because somebody got to understand that when we go back to the point that we understand that the plagues were coming, and when those plagues come, there's something that took place that really bothered me about Pharaoh. And sometimes we make the same mistake, I'm afraid. Glory to God. If you have your Bible, go to Exodus chapter 8. I just want to pull one thing out, and I want to show you that somebody, you being plagued by those, you done been through your Nile done turned into blood, your water done turned into blood, and now you got to deal with them frogs, and you don't know what to do with yourself. But there's one mistake I don't want you to make. Exodus chapter number 8, verse number 8 says, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. There's a mistake that just took place, and somebody didn't get it. So let me see if I can make it empirical. The frogs, if you go back and read the preceding two verses, the Bible said God sent frogs into the whole land. There were frogs in their kitchen. There were frogs in their bedroom. The frogs were even in their ovens. Glory to God. Everywhere they looked, when they got in the shower, frogs were in there. They had frogs everywhere. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And Pharaoh said, man, I can't deal with this. You got to get rid of these frogs. And God was ready to answer his prayer as God is ready to answer yours. But God asked him, Moses said, when do you want me to tell the Lord to take away the frogs? And verse number 9, Moses asked Pharaoh, when you want me to get rid of the frogs? And verse number 10, Pharaoh made a mistake that a lot of the saints make. He said, tomorrow. Glory to God. I preached a message years ago called One More Night with Those Frogs. Glory to God. It sounds unorthodox, but what happened, Pharaoh just ordered another night of frustration and another night of misery for him and all the Egyptians. Glory to God. He said, I want you to take these frogs away. Take them away tomorrow. But if you take them away tomorrow, that means you got to go through another night with the frogs in the bed with you. You got to go through another night with the frogs in the shower with you. Frogs in your oven. Frogs in your food. Frogs in your clothes. No, baby, don't take them tomorrow. I wish somebody's faith would rise and you would say, I want the frogs gone now. Glory to God. And Moses looked at Pharaoh and said, be it according to thy word. A heathen king could speak a thing and God would stand behind it and make it happen. And I'm suggesting to God's anointed that what you got to do is get some specificity. You can't just say, God, heal me. Say, God, I want healing now. I better move because I'm getting stuck. I don't want financial blessing next week. I want it now. I want my stuff and I want it now. Glory to God. I wish somebody's faith would rise and you would tell God, don't just move the frogs. I want them gone now. I got to move. Lord, help me. Glory to God. And so up until this point, God has dealt with them, but God says, now, see, the reason is in Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, God says, how art thou fallen on Lucifer? What caused Lucifer to fall? The Bible says in Isaiah 28, it says, for thou was lifted up in thy heart, and pride was found in thee. Eating off the fruit wasn't the original sin. The original sin was P-R-I-D-E, the one with I in the middle. Glory to God. Anytime you get you in the middle, there's going to be some problems. Glory to God. And so what God had to do, he had to turn the river into the blood. He had to do all these things. The last plague that God's going to deal with is the pride of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He said, you played with my son. You killed my firstborn. Every time a male child was born, you dropped him in the Nile River. Glory to God. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to turn your river into blood, first of all. I'm going to show you that the Nile is not God. I'm the God of heaven. Glory to God. And then when it culminates, says you won't use water to drown my son, I'm going to drown your whole army in the Red Sea. I can't say that ain't my subject. Glory to God. But God says, you dealt with my firstborn, I'm about to deal with yours. Hallelujah to God. Huh? God said, Israel is the vehicle that I'm going to disclose. I'm going to display my power through you. You didn't touch my firstborn. I'm about to touch yours. Hallelujah to God. Now you understand that that pride leads to idolatry. Why? Because pride is self-reliance. Glory to God. The whole meaning of idolizing oneself is to put yourself in God's place in order to become the center of your own reality. There's a lot of people that claim to serve God, but the Bible says your God is your belly. Glory to God. You serving yourself. You serving your own will, your own desires, your own appetite. Glory to God. And what God will do is order a plague in your life to get pride out of you. Hallelujah to God. How do we know that pride was present? Because when pride is present, when you get to the point that you move to idolatry, you depend on your own ability. I got to move quick. Number two, you admire your own accomplishments. Number three, you prioritize your own plans. Number four, you regard your own needs as vital. It's what I got to have, not what somebody else needs. And in the kingdom, we serve others, not ourselves. Number five, you serve your own interests. Glory to God. Number six, you seek to satisfy your own pleasure. Number seven, you complain about your own problems. Nobody else's issues don't bother you, but everything go wrong with you. It's time to stop. Call the prayer line. Let's have a service. Revival. Let's do something because I've been touched. And God says that's called pride and selfishness. That's idolatry. And number eight, when you do all these things, depend on your own ability. Admire your own accomplishment. Prioritize your own plans. Regard your own needs as vital. Serve your own interests. Seek to satisfy your own pleasures. Complain about your own problem. What you're doing, you are now your own God. And that's what happened with Pharaoh. He was God in his own mind. And God says, now I got to, he set us an example. He did just the opposite. When Jesus comes on the scene, he said, you got these eight defects, but I got eight virtues that's going to help you. Number one, he set power aside and trusted in the power. In the form of God, but thought it not robbery to humble himself and become a servant. Glory to God. John chapter 12 and verse 28, he said, Father, glorify thy name. He didn't try to make a name for himself. He glorified the name of the Father. Luke 22 and 42, he said, not my will, but your will be done. I ain't gonna serve my own plans. I'm going to do your will. Glory to God. Matthew 20 and 28, he said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. Y'all ain't ready. Glory to God. Number five, Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he gave his life a ransom for many. He wasn't worried about things that concerned him. He said, I came to save the lives of those that were lost. Isaiah 53 tells us that he was a suffering servant. He became a servant through the whole chapter. In verse number 7, he said he didn't open up his mouth in affliction. Glory to God. And so, number 6, he became a servant. Number 7, he was afflicted. And number 8, he was one with the Father. 1 Corinthians 8 and 6. As I come to a close, let me simply say this. We have to understand that there's one thing I got to draw for you. If you go back to Exodus chapter 8, let me see real quick if I can maximize this, if I can get this in your heart the way that God gave it to me. What you got to understand, God is trying to deal with Pharaoh, but the main thing God's scope is, the main thing God is dealing with, he's dealing with pride and idolatry. That's what the plagues were about. They were about showing the people that what they thought was God was not God, and instilling in them that the God of heaven, Jehovah, glory to God, Elohim, Yahweh, Jesus Christ is the only God, glory to God. And so what you got to be careful, as I hasten to close, Minister G, the thing that you want to intrigue people concerning, the thing that you want to caution people concerning is that when God begins to inflict plagues upon those that's touching his anointing, those that's doing his prophet's harm, when God is trying to get the pride out of them, what the devil will do, he'll offer you a compromise. I got to touch it. I ain't got time, but I got to touch it. In Exodus chapter 8, verse number 28, real clear, hallelujah to God. Well, we know in verse 22, God said, this is the day I'm about to make a difference between Goshen and Egypt. Verse number 23, I'm going to put a division between my people and your people. God said, the plagues from now on, they're not going, after the flies, the frogs is not going to touch Israel no more. I got to show Pharaoh that I ain't playing. I'm going to protect my son while I deal with his. But when we get to verse 28, Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness only. Somebody need to mark this in your Bible. Exodus chapter 8, verse 28 says, Pharaoh told Moses, y'all can go, but here's what I want you to do. Don't go too far away. He said, and so what the world does, when you first come to God and God sends plagues on the world, on your world, to sever you from that, to get you out of pride and get you to worship him, what the devil will do is try to make a compromise with you. He said, look, you can be saved, but you ain't got to be no fanatic. You ain't got to go on no call on no Wednesday afternoon. You ain't got to be on no calls with them people at nighttime and all the stuff y'all be doing. Just go to church, say your prayers, mind your own business. Don't go too far. Be saved, but don't come all the way out the world. Lord have mercy. And so you got to be careful that the plagues don't get you to the point. See, I'm wondering if God cut the tie with plague in Goshen because he didn't want his own people to become weary and be willing to settle for the compromise. They've been telling God, we got to go. We got to go to the land that God promised us so we can worship and serve him and sacrifice unto him, teach our children, and do obeisance unto the only God of heaven. And Pharaoh, I tell you what, I'll let y'all go. Only you shall not go very far away. I want somebody to understand, when the devil make you an offer and try to tell you that you can go, just don't go too far, you better tell the devil he's a liar. Glory to God. You better tell hell I ain't coming. I'm leaving here. I'm getting all the way from Egypt. I'm getting out the world. I'm going to be with God, lest the plagues consume me as well. Say Exodus chapter number 10, the second compromise comes. It goes through a whole lot of things. I told you it would be too much to try to teach all of this in one setting. But in Exodus chapter 10, verse number 7 starts off, and Pharaoh's servant said to him, man, look, man, you guys, we done been through some stuff. Now, we done had all these plagues that came, the hail and the fire and all this stuff that came upon us. Look, man, I think we better leave these people alone before God going to do something to us. We got too much that we did. We done dealt with the blood and the water and the frogs and the lice and the flies and our cattle been diseased. We got balls. We got hail. Come on, we got to leave these people alone. Now, don't leave these people alone before God deals with us. Hallelujah to God. And so what happens is the plague comes, and Pharaoh calls Moses in, said, look, man, I tell you what I'm going to do now. I decide I'm going to let y'all go. It starts in verse 7 all the way through verse number 10. But in verse number 10, he said, I'm going to let y'all go serve the Lord your God. He said unto them, let the Lord be so with you as I will now. I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it. Hallelujah to God. For evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord. For that ye did desire, and they were driven. In other words, the second compromise was, all right, I told you go, but don't get too far out the world. Don't go too far. You want to go further? I tell you what, I'll let you go, but don't take your family with you. Don't take your loved ones with you. Leave your children in the world. Leave the stuff dear to you. The men can go. Leave the women and the children here. And the devil going to wreak havoc over our families because we got people that's falling for the okey-doke. Glory to God. The plagues were designed to make Pharaoh's get to the point that he put pride down and let God's people go in full. Moses come back and said, no, we ain't going for this deal. Our children going, our wives going. You see, when Pharaoh asked Moses, who will go with you? Moses said in verse number 9 of Exodus 10, we will go, our young, our old, our sons, our daughters, our flocks, our herds. Everything we have got to go. We got to go because everything we have belongs to God. Pharaoh, I tell you what, let's do this, man. The men can go, but leave everybody else here. I'm telling you, it's a compromise that you can't afford to take. And in my close, let's go to the same chapter, chapter 10. Let's look at verse 24. Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. I tell you what, you can take your family, you can take your children, you can take your wives, your daughters, but I tell you what, leave all your wealth here. Don't take none of your resources. But if we go to where God promised that he was going to give us, and we get there and we ain't got God's resources, we can't do kingdom business. Y'all ain't ready. And a lot of times the devil fools us. He tells us, you know, he makes us think that to be saved means you got to be broke. I don't know how I got there. He makes us think that humility means you got to be lowly. And he makes us think that you got to be broke and you got to have shabby stuff. But I'm telling you, God wants us to have an impact on this world. And the way that we're going to do that, we're going to have God. First of all, we got to come out the world. We got to bring our full families with us, our flocks, our herds, our sons, our daughters, our old, our young. We got to bring everything God gave us. And then we need our resources so that we can be fruitful in doing what God called us to do. Now, if we go to the book of Revelation, I'm not going to do it now. I'm closing my Bible just to make sure I'm done. Pharaoh calls unto Moses. He said, all right, here's my final offer to you. Y'all can go. But don't take none of your, don't take your resources. Don't take your wealth. And when Pharaoh played, that's doing the ninth plague, and one more thing God's got to touch, God sends the death angel. He didn't just send the death angel. Now, here's the problem. When the death angel comes, the death angel is not limited to Egypt. The death angel, the Bible says, I will pass through Egypt tonight, including Goshen. Now, God's going to pass through Egypt, but he's going to pass over Goshen. Why is he going to pass over? Because you got to put blood on the lintel. You got to put blood on the doorpost. Y'all ain't ready. Glory to God. And so I'm telling you, you're not going to be preserved just because you are God's firstborn son. You're not going to be preserved just because you're an Israelite. You're going to be preserved because you apply the blood. All the blood of Jesus. Lord have mercy. It washes white as snow. I'm telling you, folks trying to do things their own way. They're trying to go without the blood. Glory to God. Because with the blood comes responsibility. With the blood comes the covenant. Glory to God. With the blood comes the blessing. But it also comes to dedication. I got to get under the blood of Jesus. And there's some things I've been doing, some places I've been going, some people I've been entertaining that can't fit under the blood. I got to get myself to the place that the plagues don't affect me. And the only way I can do that, when I see the blood, I ain't going to pass through. I'm going to pass over. Hallelujah to God. I know I left a lot to be desired as it relates to the plagues. I could have got into a whole lot of things, but as you can see, it's easy to get stuck on some of these things, and I didn't want to lose all my time. So I know my time is gone. I'm going to yield back to the woman of God, but I want to say to us emphatically, as I surrender this platform, that God is calling us to get under the blood. God is calling. What, it don't matter what the plague. You say, Bishop, can you repeat some of those God? It don't matter. The main thing is you got to be under the blood. You, the Nile is not your God. You don't worship no frogs, no lice, no flies, no cattle, no balls, no hail, no locusts, no darkness, and death is not our friend. Glory to God. What we got to do, we got to put our trust in the God of heaven. And what God did, he touched Pharaoh's firstborn, and then the Bible said there was a lamenting, there was a weeping throughout the whole land of Egypt. But in Goshen, there was joy. There was jubilation. Glory to God. And God caused, when he didn't just touch the people. See, all this other stuff, Pharaoh was causing all kind of stuff to happen to the people, but he was stealing his field out. Now, some of the plagues affected the palace, but Pharaoh, he was still shielded. He called the shot. Glory to God. But when the death angel came, Pharaoh woke up and his son was dead. And I'm telling you what God is doing. He's touching the firstborn of everything that touched his firstborn. And so I want to say to everybody on this call, Psalm 105, once again, hallelujah to God. 105 and 15 and 1 Chronicles 16, 22. Touch not mine anointed, neither do my prophets any harm. You got to be careful how you handle Minister G. That's God's, that's his anointed. That's his prophet. Watch yourself now. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, you touch God's firstborn, he'll kill your firstborn. Lord have mercy. He's a God of mercy, but he's also a God of justice and severity. And that's what Egypt found out. And Pharaoh got to the point he confessed with his mouth, your God is the God of all heaven. Man, we don't have nothing. The first thing, you know, when Moses threw his rod down, the magicians did the same thing. God said, you can replicate, you can imitate some of God's stuff, but you ain't got the power that goes with it. I want to close with this one thing. I want to say to that person on the phone, Minister G, you can come back on this side. I'm done.
Yes.
I want to say, God has a work for you to do, and it ain't based on your ability. It ain't based on your power or authority. It ain't based on who gonna believe you. It ain't based on how eloquent you can be. It ain't based on your personal preference or your inclination. God knows that sometimes what he wants you to do, you don't want to do. But I want to pray right now, pray as I surrender this platform. And I want to pray that God would send his presence with all his people. I want to pray that his name would go before us, that we would know him as the I am, that I am. Glory to God. I want to pray that the power of God would go with us, that when we get in a tight circumstance and God needs to display his power, when people are putting their hand against you and they're trying to come against you, that the power of God would say, what's in your hand? Throw it down. Glory to God. I want to pray that God would enable us in all of our deficiencies. If you like Moses and can't speak too well, God would say, I'm going to be your mouth. Glory to God. I'm going to be your words. I'm going to be your enablement. I'm going to do what you need me to do. Glory to God. And so God would get in, and then I pray that those of you that are willing to go and be and do what God told you to do, you got his presence and his name and his power and his enablement. I pray that God would give you his instructions. I pray that God would do for you as he did for Moses in Exodus 4 and verse number 14. As I read and surrender this platform, the anger, when Moses said, God, I really don't want to go, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with him thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And I pray that those of you that feel insignificant, feel inadequate, I pray that God would give you his presence, give you his name, give you his power, give you his enablement. And most of all, through meetings like this and encounters on the radio and on the conference calls and all the different things that we've given ourselves to, that God would ultimately give us the instruction. In Jesus' name, I yield.
Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God.
No.
That was a conference message. Woo. Oh, my God. I think you didn't leave nothing out. Oh, I thank God. You covered everything. Oh, my God. You, Lord, you enlightened me on so many things concerning this message. Oh, my God. Woo, thank you, Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your servant, Bishop Boyd, who obeyed your instructions.
Bless you, oh God.
A comprehensive message we needed to hear. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, help
Hallelujah.
Us to be humble. In the name of Jesus, help us to be willing. Help us to stay under the blood. In the name of help this message to get deep into our spirits and apply to our lives. So we thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done through the message. Oh, God, even if we don't understand every word, Lord God, you poured your word into us, which will be revealed from time to time. Oh, God, we will begin to pull this message up. We need it. And we'll say, oh, my God, I remember what Bishop taught us. So, Father, help us not to deal with idolatry, plagues, oh, God.
Yes.
But, Lord, help us to stay focused on you, not being distracted, not pulled to the left and the right. Keep our eyes fixed on you. I pray that you will restore Bishop, refresh and renew his strength. Everything he poured out, pour it back into him. Oh, God, 100%.
There you go.
Bless his
Thank
family.
You know.
Lord, as we remember Pastor Eugene Wellington, we lift him and his family up. Lord, is right now, Lord, he is solely dependent upon you.
Yeah.
He is like a baby, solely dependent upon you. His family may be shedding tears, but, Lord, you have the last thing. So, so we turn it over to you, Lord God. And we thank you for what you're going
to
do. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we say he should live and not die, but you have to say so. It's our desire for him to live and for his family. Oh, God.
Your will.
In the name of Jesus.
Your will.
Oh, Father, have your way. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Bishop Boyd.
Yes, ma'am.
Bishop, I have a young man on here. His name is Brian Boyd. I don't know if y'all related. How you doing, Brian?
Good afternoon, Sister G. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
This is
Praise
Brian
the Lord,
sir. Chief Boyd.
Yeah.
It is a pleasure to meet you, Bishop. Ooh, and thank you for the word today.
Glory to God. All right, I got family. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to have to send you one of his podcasts. He's always doing podcasts about leadership and how God wants leadership to be. So, mighty young, he only, what, 26,
right?
I certainly
need to check that out. That's wonderful. Yeah.
Amen. I thank God for him. Thank God for you, Bishop. Thank God for everyone who came on the line today. And it's a closing time. So I'm going to ask Bishop Boyd if you will close us out in prayer. We thank God for that mighty word that God spoke through you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you. All right, as we close, I just want to remind everybody, when the plagues begin to be dispensed, oftentimes the enemy will offer you a compromise. Don't settle for the compromise. He's going to tell you you can go, but don't go too far. Don't take it. He's going to tell you you can go, but don't take your family. Don't go with it. He's going to tell you you can go, but don't take your wealth. Tell him I'm leaving and everything for me, everything God gave me, going with me. Father, we thank you right now, God. We ask for God, as we would leave this line, God, as we would leave this encounter, we would never leave your presence. We thank you, God, for being unto us all that we need, God. You said, even as you told Moses, when he said, whom shall I tell him sent me, God? You said, tell him that I am, that I am. Be I am in our lives, O God. Do for us what only you can. And we'll be careful to give you glory, to give you honor and great praise. I thank you for the ministry gift that you used to facilitate this, oh God. Touch Minister G now, God. Bless her mind, her will, her emotions, her intellect, her imagination. Do for her, God, what only you can. Cause your word to be engrafted fully to the woman of God that it might save her soul continually, daily, God. Every day we're being conformed into the image of the Son of God. We thank you for all that you've done. We bless you now. Cause your word to fall into the hearts of your people. Open our eyes, that we might behold wondrous things out of your law. And we'll be careful to give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank
you,
Lord.
God, thank God for coming on. I love you. We already know God loves you so much. And He has great plans for your life.
Hallelujah. So
remember the message today. Hallelujah. Be humble for the mighty hand of God. Amen. Amen. Talk to y'all soon. Love you, love you, love you. God loves you so much.
Amen.
Have
love
a great day. Have a good day. Love you.
Oh.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for the word, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.